man's wealth is his fortress. That means his security. So the ruin of the poor is their poverty. And there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. There's a difference between being poor and having a poverty mentality. Nothing wrong with being rich. Nothing wrong with being poor. Poor is just, I don't have enough resources. I'm poor in some areas of my life. Rich is having more than enough resources. The challenge is if you're poor and you have a poverty mentality. The poverty mentality says there is not enough. Wealth mentality says there's more than enough for all of us. Somebody say that with me. There's more than enough, for all of us. Now, that's good news. You ain't no need of you be jealous. You don't size nobody up. When God blesses somebody, don't you say he shouldn't bless them, and why did he not bless you? There's enough room for all of us. And God, he ain't like some of us. He ain't robbing Peter to pay Paul. He ain't paying half the gas to keep the electric on. He ain't blessing him, not blessing him so he can bless her. God can do something with all of us. The problem is the poverty mentality. You can be rich with the poverty mentality. You can be poor with the poverty mentality. And some of us, we're in situations, if somebody just increases our resources, instead of becoming rich, you just hood rich. You just got a little more resources. But it's a mentality that God's really concerned with that gets us secure. So I want to talk to you about the wealth mentality this morning. When I say wealth, most of you think money. But I want to show you it's about resources. It's about what God has blessed you with an abundance of things. Wealth is a belief that there's a state of mind that there are more than enough resources. I love friends who have wealthy mentalities because there's never this kind of little side jab when God's blessing you. It's never this, what about me? It's always they can celebrate you because they know what God did for you, he can do for them. I want to challenge all of y'all in your circles. Don't be jealous of each other. Push each other. God's blessing one, he got enough to bless all of you all. When God starts elevating one, don't you get upset that, man, you still in the apartment, everybody else buying houses. There's enough houses for all of us. There's enough land out there for all of us. God bless your girlfriend. Y'all, they getting married. Go in there and applaud and catch the garter belt. Knock somebody out the way because yours coming next. They didn't marry the last single man there was. There's enough for all of us. Somebody get promoted. There's more promotions. There ain't promotion. God will create one for you.
Yes,
this young lady go to church here, God made a promotion for her. I mean, God can make room for you because he's a wealthy God.
Yes.
But you have to live with that mentality that there is more than enough and there's enough opportunity for all of us. And I'll show you how God dealt with me about it. I was in church at the last church we attended, and we had this saying that we quoted over our offering. And while I was getting ready to quote it one Sunday, this was just for me. I had the offering in my hand, and I had everybody raise the envelope. And the Lord said, Jason, there's more where this came from. Now, it was tight for us then at that time, so I was praising God, ready to shout, but I had to go on and do the little thing we recited. But here's the reality. I had to start living this way, that God is not confined. This may have been my last, but the reality is wasn't God's last. You may be down to little, but it's not all that God has. Everything that you have, there's more where that came from. And God began to deal with me about having a poverty mentality about what he's blessed me with. He said, Jason, there's more than enough resources, and I want to teach you how to tap into getting those resources in Jesus' name. Because I told you before, there's nothing worse than being rich, having resources with a poverty mentality. You have worked with that and didn't even realize it. Have you ever heard somebody say this? When I leave, this place is going to fall apart. This side act like they heard that before. If I wasn't here, this place would fall apart. And the reality is I was convicted by that statement because of poverty mentality. And there was a guy that I worked with. He said that he had a new boss, and his boss came in, and he said, listen, when I leave this place, they're going to fall apart, and they're going to see how much I'm doing. Guess what happened? He left.
Yes, sir.
Guess what happened? The company is still flowing along. Any place with vision, God will send provision. Now, it's not a matter that there were not things wrong, but it's how you address what's wrong. It's what mentality that you deal with things with. The reality was this. If Jason Scales decides he wants to do stupid stuff and I want to just go off and train squirrels for a living, BFF ain't going to die. No, it's not. I ain't going to train squirrels like that. But this place has vision. This place is going to move on. Why? Because it's a wealthy place. And when you start to think that way, you stop trying to control things in your life, and you start living open-handed. We got some great people in this house. We have college, MTSU students, Motlow students in the house. We have people from all over various walks of life.
Yeah.
I remember when we first got started, there was a college student, and she wanted to go off to medical school, but it wasn't going to be here. It was going to be somewhere else. In my mind, I was thinking, oh, no, you can't go nowhere. And the Lord's even convicted me. There's single ladies here, and I've told you guys, when you get married, your husband got to come here. Y'all can't go nowhere else. And y'all, you be your husband. I don't care who. Everybody, y'all come in here. We're going to write your name on the seat. It's going to be your seat. And the Lord convicted. He said, that's a poverty mentality. He said, they're not the only single people in the world. Let them people go be happy. When you have a poverty mentality, you try to control everything. You know the reality is an honest statement. You guys can go to church somewhere else next week, and you're still going to go to heaven. And you're still going to be blessed. I can't get up and preach on you and talk about folks leaving churches. You're going to miss your blessing. That's a lie. You can be blessed wherever you go. Just do things the right way. And I don't have to do things to manipulate and control people. Here's what the Lord said me. He said, Jason, there's more where this came from. He said, create a system. Create a ministry that attracts the best of what I have to offer in life. Yes. People may be struggling, but there's resources in them. Create a system that attracts people. And here's the reality. God's still blessing because you're here. Yes. And y'all are some of the best people on the face of the planet. But I have to operate. That makes sense with a poverty mentality. Because when you don't, you try to control stuff. And y'all check with me and Barbara when Isaiah turned 16. But particularly as parents, we want to control what our kids do. Who are you talking to? Let me see your phone. Who you texting? You hiding up under bed, listening to who they talking to at night. Hiding, they going on dates, you in the backseat of their car. How y'all doing? Mama, what you doing? Dad, you know, dad ain't do that. You know, what y'all do? All these things. No, I'm serious. But the reality is you cannot control them. They're God's. And God, I'm not afraid because they're going to do half the stupid stuff that I did. You know, that's where fear comes from. A lot of fear is from guilt. God, I don't, there's an evil world out there. When you understand that God is wealthy, he has a wealth of protection. He has a wealth of resources, and our job is to raise up. Our job is not even to control our spouses. We're going to go out tonight, and you are going to have a good time. Here's what happens. Whatever you control, you make miserable. Because you don't give them, you know, you don't give them the right to be who they are. You don't give them the right to make decisions. You don't even let people make their own mistakes because you try to put your thumb on things. But when you live with a wealthy mentality, you live open-handed. I want to show you how to tap into a wealthy mentality and to live with God's wealth. Is that all right in here? Here's how we're going to do it. To tap into wealth, you got to have purpose drawers in your life. There's a guy that I love. His name is Miles Monroe, and I was listening to a message of his this week, and he said a statement that stuck with me, which is what I want to deal with today. He said the wealthiest place in every city is the graveyard. He said because there's countless people who died, who did not write books, who didn't open up restaurants, who never fulfilled their purpose. They died with dreams. They died with ambition because it was never drawn out of them. They never took a chance. They never stepped out. And he said, here's my challenge to every person I talk to. I want you to live full but die empty. I want to challenge every person in this room. Don't you die with any regrets. I want you to live out every dream, every goal, every ambition that God has for you. I don't want you to have any regrets. Even if you fail in it, don't take stupid risks, but take calculated risks because you want to die living out the potential that God has on the inside of you. He said that statement and it stuck with me. And then there was another statement that I was on social media and I saw it. It said this, somebody could win with the hand you're losing with. It just takes somebody with know-how. Spades players in the house. Didn't say you gamble with it, just said you play with it. You ever called books and you called five and then there was a two of spades that walked that you didn't know was going to walk? There's some people who know how to play a hand and make things work. The thing I love about people with a certain mentality, man, they can make stuff stretch. Yes, man, I don't know who my Aunt Gloria is, but she told us one day last, when our summer camp, she said, we're going to have steak. And there were some bananas that were about to go bad. And she said, we're going to have banana bread. I said, I don't know what you're going to do about this. She took Jiffy cornbread out the mix, out the cabinet. She took them bananas, and I guess she cut off the bad parts. And she said, we got steak. She took some frozen hamburger patties and made some gravies. Them kids thought they were eating steak. It's just frozen hamburger patties. And she took a little bit and made much out of it. When you got a wealthy mentality, it don't take much. It just says, sing what I have. This is what I can do with it. When God blesses your mentality, he can take right where you are and stretch it in the name of Jesus. You might have seen God stretch things in your life. Proverbs 20:5 says this. That's what I want to read. It says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding, and that, don't get offended by that man, it's just a person in general, it's not male or female, a man of understanding will draw it out. Purpose is deep in the heart of every person in this room. I don't care what they look like. It could be the hardest guy. It could be somebody who's just defiant right now. Inside of their heart is purpose. And what I'm doing this morning when I'm preaching to you is I want to wake up something inside of you that says there's something great inside of me, and I just need to be in the right environment to pull that thing out of me.
Yes.
But here's the challenge. The reason why purpose doesn't get out of many of us, there are three levels of people that would or interactions that we're having every day. The Bible says purpose is deep in the heart of man, but a man of understanding will draw it out. We deal with level one people who are full of opinions, and they can only get so much out of you. Because an opinion is nothing more than what a person thinks about your situation. I think this about what you're going through. I feel this about what you're going through. You feel a certain way about certain things, and your opinion can only get certain things out of you, and you're frustrated because you know there's more in you than what you're seeing, but all you settle for is an opinion. That there's more to life than that opinion. Level two people are those who you come to for advice. And there's nothing wrong with advice. But you ever notice when you ask somebody for advice, they say this: if I were you, I would do this. Have no knowledge of your situation, but if that were my kid, I'd just beat him. You know, if I was in that situation, this is what I would do. Advice is based on my experience and my knowledge for your situation. And it's good to a certain level of things. And it gets a certain level out. Level three, where you really want to be at, is a man of understanding. A man of understanding starts to ask you questions. Tell me about your personality. Tell me about what's really going on in the situation, because they're digging. I get nervous when I'm around people who don't ask questions. Because here's the reality: you don't know everything. And none of us in this room don't know what we don't know. So it takes people to dig into our situations. And can I tell somebody in here, when you're so emotionally connected to your situation, you don't see everything that's going on. That's why it takes a man of understanding to draw things out of you. When you have people of understanding around you, they draw the things out of you that God wants you to do. Here's how you become a person of understanding. The first thing you got to do is prepare. You got to prepare to do more than just to give advice. Because watch this. When you're good at what you do, you will attract certain things. Say you go to the doctor. You can self it. You can self-diagnose. Anybody search WebMD and you self-diagnose yourself? I've had like the worst cancer that's only been happened twice. And the place that it happened in don't even exist no more. But I was sure that I had it because that's what WebMD said I had. I just sure I was going to die. You can self-diagnose opinion. Prepare. Or you can go to the doctor. And here's a great thing I love about doctors that are really good. They can tell you, this is what I see, but I can't do it here. We're going to send you somewhere else. When you're good at what you do, you know your limitations, you know your strengths, and you know your weaknesses. You want to get to this point where you're good at what you do, where you know this is what I do well, and you're prepared to be a person of understanding. The next thing is this: you got to focus. Whenever you're doing things for God, whenever you're serving, the focus should not be you. The focus should be what you're called to minister to. Here is the challenge, because when you become good, people focus on what's good instead of why you're good. Oh, my God, you're such a great cook. Oh, my God, you're such a beautiful person. Oh, my God, you have such a great personality. You ever ask yourself why you're so pretty? You ever ask yourself, I think everybody all think they look good. You ever ask yourself why you're so smart? Listen, if you don't think you're fine, who gonna think you're fine? Oh, I'm going to stop and preach that for a minute. If you don't think you don't, I ain't waiting for nobody else to tell me. I done gained 50-something pounds, but I still look good. Yeah, I'm the best thing God ever created. If you don't think that about yourself and you get mad at somebody else, man, you got to think that about yourself, not in an arrogant way, but you got to appreciate what God made. Do you understand why God gave you that, though? Because the focus could be on what you're good at versus why you're good. I think you're good because God wants to communicate something through you. God wants to use you. Why did he give Jay such a great voice? And why can't I sing? Because God, but I said, yeah. The reason why I did that, he communicates his message through her voice. You know, when you think of love songs, you can think of Luther Vandross, you can think of Anita Baker. I can hear them sing, but I remember every word they sing. Why? Because they sing it in such a way that it catches. God wants you to be so good at what you do. That's why your presentation, your branding, who you, what you, how you represent yourself, it matters. Because it's like cooking a steak and putting it on top of a trash can. Nobody wants that steak. You're good, but I think your presentation ought to be just as good as the content that you're delivering.
Yes.
You all right in here? So I think you ought to put the focus on what you're doing, but make sure the presentation is good.
Yes.
The next thing you ought to pray for, you're going to become a person of understanding. You got to pray for compassion and patience. When you are digging, when you're going for purpose, you got to do things with compassion because you got to have a concern about the experience. Anybody ever been to a dentist that had about 10 patients waiting and they rushing on your mouth, they cutting your gum? You're like, man, you need to slow down what you're doing in here. When you don't have compassion in what you're doing, I'm just getting the best out of this situation. You ever had a meal from an angry cook? Let me just sit right there for a moment. You ever had a lesson from an angry teacher? Y'all gonna get me fired. You know we gotta pass these tests and all this stuff going on here. You gonna learn this stuff today. Oh, y'all gonna learn today. Compassion says, I may be frustrated, but this experience is gonna stay with this person for the rest of their life. That's why I pray for parents. Do you not know that your kids are gonna talk about you for years? And you may be frustrated when to pluck their eyes out and put them back in. But they are fragile, and how we deal with them, they're going to remember it for the rest of their life. I'm serious. For the rest of their life. I don't know if I was a preacher. I don't want them to tell half these stories about my daddy had me just nervous and all this kind of stuff. No, I want to be able to communicate with passion, with the compassion and with patience. His work is real. People who are good, you can become frustrated because everybody around you is not as good as you are. And what Satan wants you to do is to take your shovel. I don't need this. And many people have forsaken their passion because they got frustrated because they were not accepted. And when you throw your shovel down, when you throw the thing down you're supposed to be digging with, not only do they suffer, the person you're ministering to, but you suffer because you're empty. Because you have forsaken your calling, your passion, because you got hurt, you got bitter, you got frustrated with people, and you stopped doing what you were called to do, and now you're sitting here doing something you know you have no business doing, and the place that you're supposed to be ministering to is missing as well. Pray for compassion and pray for patience because we need you. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm going to give you 7 questions as I get through today on how to draw deep out of situations to be a person of understanding. Are you ready for these? Number one, what do people come to you for? People normally come to people for what they're good at. For instance, I go to Kroger to get steak. That's where I get my meat from. I go to Walmart. We get other things from Walmart. We get other things from Publix. We get things from where we like. Where do you go to get your car fixed? Where do you go to get your hair done? Where do you go to get your hair cut? What do people come to you for? People are always coming to me asking me to pray. Maybe you can pray. People normally come to you for what you are good at. Number two, the next thing is this. What do people come to you for that frustrates you? Here's the question I'm trying to get at with that. Whatever frustrates you, you either burn out, you're bored, there's more than this, or you need to teach what it is that you know. My son Isaiah loves to have his shoes double knotted, and every morning, Daddy, can you double knot my shoes? Isaiah, one more time. This is how you double knot these shoes. And I ain't telling you again. And Barbara fusses. You got to be more gentle than that. This is how you double knot your shoes. Frustration comes when you know something and somebody else should know it. And you haven't taken the time to adequately teach it. You know when you have a wealthy mentality, you're not jealous of people? Barbara is a neat freak. She is. She wants things right. I know when she comes home, she wanted to smell good and she wanted to look good. And I would put stuff up after we folded. It's marriage 101. Yeah. And I would fold these towels. And she said, Jason, this is how you fold the towels. Who makes you right? So I finally said, show me how you want them. And it makes for a good night every single. You can draw the line there wherever you want to draw the line. Here's the reality. Whatever frustrates you, you have to teach it. And when you teach it, it can be done in the way that it should be done. You cannot inspect what you have not educated a situation on to do. And now you have all these demands and you've not built things up to the level of the demands that you have. That's when things frustrate you. Let me get where I'm going here. The next question is this. What are you not getting asked to do that you want to do? Maybe it's your passion and not your purpose. Or maybe you need to go get feedback so that you can do it. Man, I love singing, but nobody will ask me to sing. I'll be the best supervisor on this job in this company, but nobody will hire me. Maybe you go ask questions. I'm talking about digging deeper. Because most people will side with your feelings when you're strong about something. You know, you smart, girl, they just overlooking you. No, you need somebody that will dig deep and get to the root of the situation to gauge how things should be. Does that make sense in here? The next thing is this. What is your biggest regret? You know why you ask what your biggest regret is? I want to see your judgment. When you tell me a story, I want to see if you paint yourself as the victim or if I see that you feel like you have some level of authority in the situation. Because some people, when they tell stories, it's always they had no control in the situation. And sometimes you cannot. The only thing you can control is your response. But I want to know, how do you size things up? I was talking to a guy one day, and I asked him the weirdest question, and it made the most sense. And I said, would you let him borrow your car? He was talking about another guy. And he said, absolutely not. I said, you know why? Because you don't trust his judgment. I said, he has great survival skills, but he doesn't have good decision-making skills. And there's a big difference between the two. You got to size up where you are. Does that make sense? The next thing I want to ask you is this. Who has had the biggest influences in your life? Because now I'm going to look at your influences because they shape the way that you think. Well, my dad had the biggest influence. Man, thank God your dad was in your life. But if your dad was the angriest man like James Evans, you're going to fuss every day of your life. You're going to be ready to fight every day. Or you're going to go to the opposite end. I'm not going to be like my dad, so you don't deal with anything. I need to know who are the influences who shape the way that you think, the way you see things. The other thing is this. What is the consistent feedback that you get from people about what you do, either good or bad? I know I'm good, but everywhere I go, they say this. Everywhere you go, they say that. There could be some truth to that. Or I get this feedback everywhere I go. I'm talking about digging deep so that you can see what's really the challenges in your life. The next question I want to ask you, and this is the last question, and I want to see where you fall. A person walks in the room with a tray of drinks, and they fall and spill everything everywhere. What would you do? Number one, who would go grab a towel and immediately start cleaning up? Who am I talking to here? You immediately go grab a towel and start cleaning up. Who's the person that would run to the person and say, are you okay? There's more drinks, but there will never be another you. And we're going to make sure that you're okay and you're all right. Everybody spills stuff. It's a part of life. Get back up and try again. Who's that person? Here's the person. Who's this person? You're going to run to the person, but here's what you're going to say. Hey, I saw you spill those drinks, but next time, try it this way. Because I see you carrying trays all over the world. I see you better than where you are right now. And if you carry it this way, God's got an anointing on your life, and you're going to do great things. But do it this way next time. Who is that person in here? The next person is this. Who is the person? You ain't looking for a towel. You didn't really look at the person, and you're not really concerned about the lesson. Hey, you go grab a towel. You make sure we got more drinks in the back. Hey, you go make sure that this is here. You immediately go into direction mode, not being bossy. That's just who you are. Who's that person in this room? It's called digging deeper. And the person you think is bossy is actually the administrator. The person you said needs a towel is actually the person who has the gift of helps. They see stuff you don't see. They see stuff out of place. We got these little tissues. Y'all, people like to cry in church and stuff like that. They would notice when they empty. And I wouldn't even know if there was another Kleenex in this building. But they notice. They're the ones that just send you texts and cards. But how did you know? Because they have that gift. The person that comes that says, are you okay? They have the gift of exhortation. They have the gift of encouragement. They're going to make sure that you're good because they know you're going to get another chance and they don't want you permanently damaged from this situation, but you're trying to figure out who a person is. The other person that comes to you and says, hey, next time carry it like this, they're not critiquing you. They're trying to make you a better you. Yes. They're the teacher. They're the person that watches things. They have systematic in how they teach. You have to dig deeper to find out who people are, your kids, your coworkers, your spouse, whoever they are. When you dig deeper, you get to the source of their purpose and things flow in life. And the next thing you know, you have a wealthy place. Who are the people around you? Who's God placed in your life? Their gift could be irritating you to no end because you're not using it right. What is it that God has called you to do? What is it that you're good at that there's no opportunity for you yet? Maybe you won't get paid for it first, but maybe you'll serve your way into a level of greatness. Where is it that there's a level of frustration in your life that God wants to bring breakthrough? You know what I came to do this morning? I come to dig in your heart to make you think. I don't have the answer for you, but I can point you toward the answer. And I feel that every Sunday that if I can dig with compassion and I can dig with a certain level of getting you to think, that you'll see what God is saying. Because I want to see breakthroughs show up in every area of your life. It is not the will of God that we live frustrated. I believe in God for more opportunities than you ever imagined. There are some of you that need to be supervisors, that you've been looked over for positions. I believe in God will give you exactly what to do to get there. There are some of you working for somebody that need to be owning a business. You all right? There are some of you that God is ready to do great things for you. Your husband, your wife is ready to manifest. But it's deeper questions that you ask yourself. Because God is ready to do great things in your life. Can you stand to your feet all over the building? I want to do this. I want to pray for every person that needs to see breakthrough in the area of your life where you have frustration. There's a level of frustration in your life. And you know that there's